Yeah, good morning. JK asked me to go out to lunch and have burrito and Doritos, and I didn't understand why, and you wonder why I don't get here that much. Anyway, good morning. We're excited to be here. First off, I would like to say on behalf of my wife and my son, who could not be here on this trip, they wanted me to say hola. And that they're hoping that next time we come up that they're able to be here with us, and they're really, really excited to meet all of you. So I wanted to do a shout out there. It is a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to call this church home, and it's a blessing to be able to serve in Honduras, but know that back here we have people praying for us and supporting us and encouraging us. And I just want to say thank you for all of that here at Catalyst, and for what you guys mean to us. A lot of times on the mission field, it gets very lonely, and to know that we have people behind us encouraging us, even if you're not standing right beside us, we know you're there. And so we just want to say thank you. All the notes, the messages, everything that you guys do throughout the year is a great and tremendous blessing and a very needed. So I just want to say thank you for that. It keeps us going down there when sometimes things get hard, right? You know, when you're on the mission field serving God, whether it's in the United States or abroad, sometimes it can get pretty lonely. And actually, it's something I want to talk to you guys about this morning. But I got a question for you. As we get started, I want to share a story with you. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody asks you to follow them because they want to show you or tell you something, and by the look in their eye, you know that it's probably not going to be something good or good news? So a few months ago, we were at the hospital. We do a camp for kids with cancer every year. And one of the things that we do when we're not doing the camp is we visit the hospital. And for the kids who are inpatient, and these are kids anywhere from birth up to 18 years old. And I was visiting, and I was actually with a group, and we were praying with people, and the nurse came to me and said, "Come here, I want to show you something." And when she did it, I immediately, I just knew that something, I'm going to be honest with you, it wasn't a place I wanted to go, I think. I think I was like, oh, wait, I don't know. And so she beckoned me, and I said, okay, it's fine. And so we went into this room. And it was probably 25 foot by 25 foot. It was a small room. There was a boy to my right and a boy in front of me. And the boy to my right, Paolo, cancer had taken his arm from here down. And he was very, very, very sick. And he was laying in bed, and you could tell he had lost a lot of weight. And but he could see a smile. He just had this joy about him. And the guy in front of us, Josue, you could tell he had was very, very frail and thin. He looked like he was probably about 10 years old, but when I asked him, he was told me he was actually 15. And I was wondering, I was like, why are these guys in this room? Like, what's different from between them and the other place? And they said, well, this is our hospice room. And I was like, immediately, my first response was, God, I didn't sign up for this. See, I came to Honduras to do a little bit something different. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't want to see this. And I was like, it kind of felt weak to say, hey, can I pray for you? You know? And so I was like this inner turmoil, and God was like, just share the gospel. Three words, share the gospel. And I was like, God, I didn't come here for this, to be honest. Why'd you bring me here? Like, you know, we've got our minute, you know, and God was like, share the gospel. So I sat down with them. How do you share a gospel like that with, you know, in that situation? I thought they were going to be angry. How can God love me? How are you going to tell me God is good? How's God good? But they listened. And as I got towards the end, and I said, you know, we're all going to be in front of Jesus one day. All of us. And here's the thing. The only thing that's going to matter isn't going to be your age or what happened or whatever. The thing that's going to matter is what you did with his son, Jesus Christ. And Paolo, to my right, said, what do you mean? What do I do with Jesus Christ? And I said, but did you reject him? Or did you accept the offer of salvation and eternal life? And he said, I accept. I was like, okay. You know, it caught me by surprise, because again, I was expecting a different response. And then Josue's, me too. And I was like, I started crying, and I was like, joy and then sadness and all of it. And they're like, why are you crying for us? You just told us that we get to live forever. No more pain, no more cancer, no more sickness, no more watching our parents cry, no more medicines, no more needles, no more fevers, no more losing our hair, no more losing our weight. Are you kidding me? That's the best news we could ever hear. I was humbled. I was like, God, you got me. You got me on that one. You know, I was sitting here thinking, how can you bring me into this situation? And the whole time, God was simply wanting them to hear about Jesus. I was being selfish. And I was like, man, God, you got me on that one. And it was a little bit tricky. We got them baptized. And we know that there's two more that are going to be in heaven because of how God moves in his people, even when we're convinced that, what am I doing here? God, what have you got me into? This morning we're talking about the Great Commission. And if there's any scripture in the Bible that invokes a response in us, like, God, what are you doing? It's this scripture right here. It's where Jesus says, okay, you have followed me, you've heard about me, you've learned about me, now guess what? Go and live it. Go and take it to the world. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where Jesus is saying, hey, it's time to stop learning and sitting and time to start standing and going. And I want to read this to you. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's important. Jesus has complete authority from heaven and from earth to do what he's getting ready to do. He has the authority to send us out. He has the authority to bring us to rooms where little boys are sick. He has the authority to send us to our offices where people aren't saved. He has the authority to move us to a neighborhood where our neighbors aren't Christians. He has the authority to bring us to a church where we can learn about him and then be sent out. He has the authority to say, there are people who don't have Thanksgiving dinner. Give it to them. Jesus has that authority, and he binds it on heaven and earth and then sends it in through us. Listen to what he says. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Two promises. One, I have the authority, I'm giving it to you. Number two, I will be with you. When I walked in that room, Jesus was already there. And when we walk into situations where we experience people who don't know the good news of Jesus Christ, he's already there working as well. Before we move forward, we need to figure out what does this command really mean, because I think it's one of the most confused. Most confused scriptures in the Bible. I think we think go means go to Honduras, go to Haiti, go to Africa. That's not what it means. That's not what the command means. That's not what Jesus is saying when he said go. Before we do that, we have to ask ourselves, do we really, truly desire to follow him? Are we willing to do what he says for us to do in this scripture? John 8:31 says, if you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples. In other words, in order to be Jesus' disciple, we have to be willing to follow his teachings. If we're going to follow his teachings, then we cannot ignore what he's telling us to do in Matthew chapter 28. I want to do something a little Honduran-y today. Hondurans like interaction when they in the preaching. I know Americans are like, look, man, just be quiet. Finish this in 15 minutes. I got things to do, okay? I know because when Dave preaches, that's how I feel. Now, I better be good. He gets the last laugh because I think he's coming back up. Okay, so we're going to do something a little Honduran-y. We're going to do a little bit of motions together. We're going to kind of learn together this morning, okay? So I believe that there are five questions that all Christians should ask themselves when it comes to Matthew 28. When it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, I believe there's five things we need to ask ourselves, and we're going to do this together, okay? Number one, do you, as a Christian, as a disciple, do you want to have an impact for God in the world? So we're going to make a little world side. You guys ready? World. Okay, good. Do you think, or do you as a Christian, want to make an impact in the world for Jesus? You guys are good. This works better in English than Spanish, I guess. I don't know. Okay, now, world. Question number two. Are you willing to use your skills and talents and treasures for God? So I use this for skills and talents and treasures, like you're opening your wallet or using your hands. I just go like this. Okay, impact in the world, use our talents and treasures. World, talents, treasures. Good deal. You guys are great. Now, question number three. Do you want the love, has God's love transformed you enough that you want to go and be the way that God transforms others? Do you want God's love to transform others like it transformed you? This is an easy one. Love, right? Love. World, skills, love. World, skills, love. Good deal. Question number four. This is going to be a no-brainer, but think about this. Do you really want to see people saved? As Christians, do we really want to see people saved, even outside of our own comfort zones? Oh, wow, okay. World, skills, heart, saved. World, skills, heart, saved. Last question. Do you desire to follow God in every part of your life? World, skills, heart, saved, follow. World, skills, love, saved, follow. See what happens when you have ADHD? I'm convinced that every Christian should answer those questions, yes. I do desire to see the world change. I do desire to see God's love change people. I do desire to see people saved. I do desire to use what God has given to me to help others. I do desire to see people know this dude named Jesus. I'm convinced that every disciple wants those things. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 1:16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to give salvation to everyone who believes. All authority in heaven has been given to me. In other words, he has the power. Jesus has the power to then give that salvation to others. And those who believed are saved. In other words, eternal life. So Josue and Paulo, their names are written in the book of life. Now, they might get there before us, but we're going to see them one day. And you know what's going to be really cool? Here's what's going to be really cool. One day, all of you are going to enter into heaven. And you're going to be walking around. You're going to be like, this is just wow. And one day, Paulo and Josue are going to walk up to you and say, hey, I just want to say thanks. And you're going to say, for I don't even know who you are. And they're going to say, thank you, because see, when you supported what God was doing in Honduras, God then sent Rob to us. And see, it wasn't Rob sharing the gospel. It was all of you sharing the gospel. It wasn't just me in that room. It was every one of you that has supported us, prayed for us, and just been there for us, patted us on the back, keep going. It was your faces when we come here on Sunday mornings and said, good job, keep going, you can do it. You see, it wasn't just me, it was all of you. And all of you are going to hear from Josue and Paulo one day. Look at what it says in Romans 10, 13 through 15. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the name of the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless somebody is sent? And and as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of the ones who bring the good news. So what does all this mean? What does God mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, go into all of the world? Here's what he meant. He wasn't saying go, because you're already in the world. What Jesus was saying was, therefore, as you go. You see the difference? This is my least favorite sermon topic to preach on, because it always makes people feel bad, because it's like, go into the world. Oh my goodness, I've got to sell everything and go over to Honduras now. Oh, or I'm not a good Christian and I'm just going to go to Starbucks and God's going to hate me. No, I don't know where we got this. And so when we don't preach this correctly, what happens is people feel bad, and you shouldn't feel bad. Here's the thing, you weren't called to go to Honduras. I was. I wasn't called to be a pastor here at Catalyst. Dave was, Robert was, John, JK was. You see, here's the thing. Everybody is called to be a missionary where God has put them. And what he's saying is, therefore, as you go along your God-surrendered, God-focused, God-loving life, here's what I want you to do. Make disciples. Share the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, right? That's what this means. It doesn't mean go, and if you don't go to Russia or go somewhere else, then you are not a good Christian. You don't feel bad because I'm standing up here and I'm just like you. I just have happened to be called to a different place. And guess what? The person to your right and the person to your left was called to a different place as well. I can't reach the people that are in your life. You can. That's your job. That's what God has called you to do. And so the original language, go, was not a verb like go to your room, go eat your dinner, go to work, go to sleep. That's not what Jesus meant. What Jesus meant was, you're already in the world. Therefore, as you are going along your journey, I want you to be a disciple maker. I want you to be the person that I work through to lead people to me. And every person in here not only has that responsibility, but has that blessing as well. That's what we're called to do. We are 27 generations. I counted it. Actually, I asked Siri, but Siri apparently can't lie. Anyway, we're 27 generations removed from Jesus Christ, yeah, more or less. That means for 26 generations before us, 26 generations before us were called to, therefore, as you are going along your way. And you know what? Somebody did it, because you're here this morning. Somebody a generation before me had the guts and the courage to say, hey, you need Jesus. I don't know if that takes a whole lot to just say, hey, I got an answer to your problems. I have an answer to every problem you have. It's right here. Let me show it to you. You see, 26, one generation ago, somebody did that for me, and now my generation has to carry that on. And when I'm gone, then the next generation, my daughter Emily, my son Austin, and all these younger kids, they're the next generation. And what happens is, when these generations keep going and keep going and keep going, that's when we see the revival Dave was talking about. We see a revival of generations. We see a revival in Honduras. We see a revival in Kentucky, in Nicholasville. We see a revival in the city block. We see a revival. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully, powerfully through his people. That's what Jesus meant. 26 generations before us took Jude 1:23 seriously. Listen to this. Snatch others from the fire. In other words, Christians are the spiritual first responders for the kingdom. There are those who are in danger of being burned in the spiritual fire of hell, and our job is to do whatever we can to rescue them. We are the line of defense God has put between them and the fire. We're in the middle. There's a story of Joshua. I think it was Joshua. He was stood in between the judgment of God and the Israelites. We are in that same place. We've been put there. We are the spiritual first responders. We are the ones God has sent into the fire to snatch others. Now, it's not our job to save people. It's not what I'm saying. It is our job to reach out to them. It is our job to say, hey, you're getting ready to be burned. You're getting ready to die. Come, Josue. Come, Paulo. It's time. We have the answer. So, we are all missionaries. On May 11th, 1986, a man named D.T. Niles said what will become probably the most quoted description of Christianity and mission work that has been shared since then. And he said that Christianity is simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Here's the thing. God's kingdom is a castle. And you and me were sitting outside the castle begging. And a prince came by, all dressed up nice. And he said, hey, why are you begging? The king wants to make you his son or daughter. Why don't you come inside? Oh, but I can't. I'm not dressed for, I'm not. No, come on inside. The king doesn't care about that. The king has your clothes. The king has your food. The king has your bedroom. The king has everything you need. All you have to do is simply stand up and come inside. And that's what we did, right? We were tired of being beggars on the street. We were tired of hurting. We were tired of going through what we were going through. And so we stood up and we entered the palace. And we became children of God. And here's what the king said. Here's what I want you to do. When you leave this castle, you're going to see other beggars along the way. Tell them that I love them. Tell them that it's not me keeping them out. Tell them that I want them to just come. That's what this guy is saying. That's what D.T. Niles was saying. At one time, we were beggars, and somebody said, here's a place to find the living bread. And now, therefore, as you are going along your way outside of the castle, tell others where to find the same bread. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. Listen to what John writes in John 1:12. Man, this is just an amazing verse. If you don't get anything out of any of these verses today, listen to this one. To all who did receive him, Jesus, and who believed in his name, he, God, gave the right to become children of God. We are children of God. We're not aimless wanderers. We know the king. We know the guy that's in charge of all this. And he's given us the power and the authority and the command as we are going along our way to share his name. Now, I know there's those of you who are saying, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what you're talking about. What does this mean? And I'm not equipped. I don't know. Let me share some truths with you, because Satan is a liar. I can't stress that enough. Satan is a liar. Here's what he wants. He wants you to be on the bench. He's convinced you're not worthy. You're not equipped. You don't know how. You don't. He does all that. I know, because I was one like that as well. So let me share something with you this morning. Number one, God wouldn't have called you to do it if you couldn't do it. God's not going to hand you his son and trust you with his message and then sit back and go, dude, check this out. He's getting ready to fail. Okay? Oh, he needs help? No, don't help him. No. He needs to fall a little bit. Yeah, there he goes. God wouldn't have called you to do it if he didn't equip you and give you the strength and the courage and the knowledge to do it. There's no plan B, guys. We are the goers. We're the ones Jesus has sent to the world. There's no plan B. That's number one. He wouldn't send you if he didn't believe in you and equip you, and he's going to help you to do it. Number two, the same Holy Spirit that has been in 26 generations of Christians before you is in you too. And the Bible says he never changes, which means the same exact Holy Spirit that led Paul on his missionary journeys, the same missionary who reached all of the pagan people for Christ and led them to Christianity. Every single person who's been touched and filled with the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit has been given to you. Peter, Paul, James, John, all of them. The same Holy Spirit God sent to them, he put in you as well. Number three, look for Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. If the Holy Spirit taught them what to say, he'll teach you what to say as well. Look, number three, the same Bible generations of Christians, the same Bible that generations of Christians have had, you have too. We have the same Bible. So we have God's Word, and it's still speaking and teaching us. And the last thing is this, you have your own testimony. God has given you a testimony. God has led you through some things that he hasn't led me through. God has rescued you from some things. God has forgiven you for some things that he didn't forgive me for. And that's your testimony. And every one of us has a testimony. And that testimony is what is the best way to share the gospel. The best way to share the gospel is not to break it open and go, okay, Romans 3 says, Romans 4 says. Yes, that's a way. But the best way to do it is say, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you where I was at and where I was saved. Now, let me show you the way. Share your testimony. God didn't waste it. He gave it to us. And what a blessing it is. God wants us to use our experiences to reach the world. Think about it this way. God has a current map of the world in front of him. He knows where every hurt, lost, and desperate person is in the world. He knows where every single one of his disciples is, and he knows exactly where he wants to put in every place. God knows who he wants to put you in front of, and God knows where he wants to put me and Dave and every person in here. God has a map of the world in front of him, and he knows exactly. Listen to what Isabel Kahn said. He's a missionary from China. I believe that in every generation, God has called enough men and women to reach all of the unreached peoples of the earth. I believe that too. I believe every office, every restaurant, every school has at least one Christian running around. God has put you in your specific place for a reason. If God sends everybody to Honduras, who's going to be here? If God sends everybody to Russia, who's going to reach Honduras? If God sends everybody to Africa, who's going to reach Nicholsville? You see, God knows exactly where he wants every single person. Your job is to, as you go, share the gospel as you walk along the way. A guy named C.T. Studd, another missionary to China, said this, "Some wish to live within the safety of the sounds of the church bells. I want to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell." That hit me. Some wish to live within the safety of the sounds of church bells, but I want to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. We are literally a yard within a yard of hell when we come in contact with lost people, when we come in contact with people who are hurting and desperate and ready to give up. We're within a yard of hell because Satan is doing everything he can to take that person and destroy them. Satan doesn't want to win them. Satan wants to destroy them. And God has made you the first responder, the person that he's put in place in front, in between hell and that person. I want to show you a picture with you guys today. A guy named Brian. Brian was a guy that was in my first church when we were in Honduras, when I moved there in 2013. We worked really hard to reach him. Many of us shared the gospel with him, and this was his response always. "I'll accept him one day. I'm just not ready yet. I'm enjoying life too much. One day, Rob, one day, just give me some time." Well, his days ran out on July 25th of this year. God called him home, or God, his days ended on a deserted street at 4 o'clock in the morning. We don't know what happened to him still, but we do know that in his fun, was robbing cars. And so we think maybe somebody caught him and took his life. I share this with you because Brian is a reminder, my encouragement to keep going. Because Brian is the person that was within a yard of hell. And we did everything we could to reach him. Now, you want to know a cool story? I share this, you're like, okay, that's kind of a lame and sad way to end a sermon. Unbeknownst to us, about 2 days before this happened, another traveling missionary ran into Brian. And Brian had left his home. He was starving. He had no money. And so they took him out to lunch. And during that, they shared the gospel with him. They said, we were once like you, and God rescued me. And he said, his token, I will, a couple days, a year, 2 years. I'll give my life one day. And the person said, when? Exactly when do you plan to do this? See, what you're doing is you're copping out. And eventually, they reached his heart. After all those seeds we had planted, all those seeds we had watered, Brian finally gave his life to Christ 2 days before he stood in front of his Savior. That's an amazing story. You see, because we're on that front line. And sometimes we share and people walk away, just like Brian did. But we never know the people who come in behind us. You see, God has a map in front of him. And he knows who he's going to send. And he knows exactly how many times somebody's going to reject him before they accept him. And when somebody rejects him, God is not going, quit rejecting me. You know what God's saying? All right, awesome. You know why? Because I know you're going to reject me 18 times. You just rejected me again? That's 16. Two more times and you're mine. You see, God knows. And so he knew Brian needed to hear that last time. He knew. So, again, before I end, Christians want to see the world changed. Christians want to use their skills and blessings for God. Christians want to see love transform others. Christians want to see people saved, and Christians want to follow God. Do it with me one more time. World, right? What comes next? Skills, heart, saved, follow. You see, that's what it means to go into all the world. It means, therefore, as you are going in your offices or wherever, we made up these little cards here. It's 51 ways to be on the go. And you can put these on your refrigerator. Here's 51 ways that you can be on the go. Here's 51 ways that you can obey Matthew 28. And there's just a bunch of them along your journey. Don't worry about where you're at. Don't worry about where God has planted you. Instead, focus on what he has planted you, for you to do there. There's a quick story of a kid who was walking, an old man who was walking along the beach one morning, and there were all these starfish that came up on the, and you've probably heard this, but I'm going to share it anyway, on the beach. And he saw this little kid, and he's throwing starfish back. And the little man is looking, and he's like, man, there's like a million starfish here. You can't possibly save all of them. And he said, well, I can try, can't I? And the old man said, it's impossible. It doesn't matter what you do, because you'll never save all of them. You know what his response was? Hey, it matters to this one. And he chucked it back in the ocean. You see, we're walking along a beach, and sometimes things seem impossible and hard and difficult. Sometimes we think we're not ready, we're not able. But the truth is that God has called you to be exactly where you're called to be, or I'm sorry, exactly where you are, to reach the people that are in front of you, to reach out and chuck one more. One more. God, just give us one more. God, we pray for one more. And you know what? When we do that, the Bryans of the world, the Josues of the world, the lost of the world find their way back to Christ. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, go into all the world. He was saying, look, you're there. Therefore, as you go, bring my message. I'll do the rest. Let's pray. Father, we want to...